brethren, the Church of God practices human sacrifice. The Church of God practices human sacrifice. That's a great headline for the National Enquirer. And I'll come back to that subject of human sacrifice in a moment. But in a few minutes' time, on this Feast of Pentecost today, we'll be giving an offering to God, as we always do on God's holy days. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked yourself, what does God expect from us for an offering? What does God expect from us for an offering? For those of you who like titles, the title of this message today is Holy Day Offerings, What Does God Really Want From Us? Holy Day Offerings, What Does God Really Want From Us? And in the sermonette today, I'd like to show you that although physical monetary offerings certainly are important and very necessary, there's another kind of offering that is far more important to God. So first of all, let's go back to that opening statement, and please turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And this is what God instructs through Paul. Just one verse here, please, brethren. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So yes, God does want us to give offerings to him on his holy days, and occasionally voluntary offerings at other times of the year as well. But more than that, brethren, he wants you, and he wants me. He wants all of us. He wants all of us. He wants all of each and every one of us. And not just on the holy days either. He wants us throughout all 365 days of every year of our Christian lives. But brethren, he doesn't want us as lifeless, dead, burnt offerings. He wants us as active, living offerings and sacrifices. That's what he wants. So how? How can we offer ourselves as living sacrifices? In many scriptures throughout God's holy written word, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God tells us exactly what he wants from us. What he wants from us more than physical offerings and sacrifices. And today I want to home in on just a few of many of the relevant New Testament scriptures. Yes, New Testament, but as you will see, we'll quote a couple of Old Testament scriptures that these New Testament requirements come from. And this shows us, this link between the New Testament and the Old Testament shows us that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, says that in Hebrews chapter 13. This shows us that in all of the essential core requirements of God, that God does not change in what he requires of his people. Read that in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. You don't have to go there now. It also shows us that even back in the Old Testament period, God considered these things more important. So, what are we talking about? What are these things that I'm talking about here? What are God's requirements that constitute our living sacrifice? What are these requirements that are a higher priority than physical offerings? Well, I'm just going to cover three areas briefly with you today, but there are definitely more than that. But let's look at these three areas that I feel are the most important. Number one is mercy, showing mercy. Please turn to Matthew chapter 9, and let's read the words of our Savior. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. But go, said Jesus Christ, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Just skip over a couple of chapters there to chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So please note here, brethren, that Jesus repeated this point, and that repetition indicates that this is a very important matter to him, to Jesus Christ, and to God the Father. In both of these verses, Jesus was quoting from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6 in the Old Testament. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So the knowledge of God is important, but let's concentrate on mercy for a minute here. Again, what did Yahweh of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ of the New Testament, what did he want from his people way back in Hosea's time and during his own human lifetime? And what does he still want from his people, from you and me today? He wants something that is translated here in these three verses, in the Greek and in the Hebrew, as mercy. Now, he wants us to have mercy to each other, to our fellow Christians, and also to non-Christians. Because non-Christians, brethren, will, sometime in the future, the vast majority of them will become Christians. Again, at some time in the future. But apparently, Jesus's implied intended requirement here was much more than just mercy. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, which we just quoted, the original Hebrew word for mercy is the Hebrew kesed, which is elsewhere translated as kindness, kindly, loving kindness, goodness, favor, and pity. So all of those things roll into this word here that we are supposed to be doing and having this mercy. So these English words certainly imply much more than just mercy. Okay, what else is more important to God than physical offerings and sacrifices? Well, the second point is loving God and loving our fellow men. We've already alluded to that, but let's look at what Jesus says here. Let's go back. Let's go to Mark chapter 12, please. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Mark 12, 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? He asked Jesus. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now jump down to verse 32. So the scribe, and this scribe obviously didn't know really who he was talking to here. He didn't know that he was talking with the one who initiated these commandments in the first place, said to him, well said, teacher. He thought he was a little bit above Jesus there. Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. But there is one God, and there is no other but he. and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself is, get this brethren, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now this Jewish scribe certainly did seem to know his Bible. In this conversation with Jesus, he actually quoted here from 5 Old Testament scriptures. I don't have time to go into all of them today, but let's just quickly read 2 of them, and we'll touch on another one in a couple of minutes. So please go to all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Eternal your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then please go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Again, these were the scriptures that the scribe was actually quoting from here. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Leviticus 19 verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Eternal. So this scribe certainly agreed with Jesus. He agreed that we should love God and our neighbors, and that love for God and for our neighbors is actually more important than all of the offerings and sacrifices, and it actually says there, yes, all of them. And you can imagine how many sacrifices were burnt and offered in those years between Sinai and between 70 AD when that was stopped. Okay, anything else that is more important to God than physical offerings? Well, yes, there is. And the third point here is doing God's will. Doing God's will. And we can also, obedience is virtually the same word as doing God's will. Now, if I had time today, I'd read the whole of Hebrews chapter 10. And I'd read chapters 9 and 13, almost all of them as well, which strongly relate to this subject. But again, I don't have that time. Let's just touch on it a little bit. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And home in on what I think is the most important aspect here. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read verses 5 to 9. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, and he's talking about Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. A body you have prepared for me. And the Greek word for body is soma, S-O-M-A. And this word, this body can refer to the body of a sacrificed animal. It can also refer to a human body, either living or dead. Now, all of the Old Testament animal sacrifices pointed symbolically to the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. The ultimate sacrifice of the human body that was prepared, that is described in this verse here, was prepared for and given to Jesus Christ. And this ultimate sacrifice, when after it took place, negated the need for animal sacrifices for the duration of the New Testament era. Let's continue in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have no pleasure. God the Father doesn't have pleasure in them, and neither does Jesus Christ. Verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, says Jesus Christ, to do your will, O God, to do your will. Verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. This was written shortly before the temple was still standing, and this was shortly before it was destroyed. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, and the first with the sacrifices and offerings, that he may establish the second. And the second was to do God's will. So the author of Hebrews here was inspired to quote actually Psalm 40 verses 6 to 8 pretty well word for word. But what was being taken away here? In the King James Version it says abolished. What was being abolished here? God here, God the Father, on basically almost on the eve of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, was in the process at this time of abolishing the Old Testament system, the Old Covenant system of sacrifices and offerings, which were very complex, okay? And he was replacing them with a relatively simple new covenant requirement to have his will done. And that was relatively simple, if you think about it. First of all, by Jesus himself, and then by Jesus' brothers and sisters, who were to emulate and to imitate him in this way. The Apostle Paul had written to the Ephesus congregation. Let's just turn quickly back to Ephesians chapter 5. And this was written at almost the same time as the book of Hebrews. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul had written to the Ephesus congregation of God's church, telling them that they should imitate their spiritual father and their elder brother in love and in living sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, I've already talked about that, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So there's Jesus' ultimate sacrifice there. So with the aid of God's Holy Spirit, with the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, we are to emulate Jesus Christ in how he did his Father's will. Now again, I said that before, but doing God's will is exactly the same as obeying God. That makes sense. And this idea dovetails with the information contained in Samuel's rebuke of King Saul. Let's just quickly, in conclusion here, go back to 1 Samuel and just pick one verse out of there and see what he says. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. Then Samuel said, has the Eternal as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Eternal? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So, let's just summarize then. We've looked at how we can and how we should offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and we've examined the things that God looks upon as more important than physical sacrifices and offerings. And those things are, number one, mercy. Number two, love for God and love for our fellow men. And number three, obedience to God doing, striving with the help of God's Holy Spirit to do His will. But here we are, brethren, on this this Feast of Pentecost, and as we usually do, we're going to give a monetary holy day offering to God. And you might be thinking, well, we could look upon this this New Covenant holy day offering practice as a kind of physical sacrifice in a similar way as the Old Covenant Israelites gave their animal sacrifices on the holy days. But I trust that what I've said today will not negatively affect the spirits of our offerings today that are given by each person who are participating in the service today. And obviously that was not my intention. It's really just a matter of priorities, God's priorities, not mine. And we know that offerings other than giving ourselves as living sacrifices are certainly not wrong. It's not wrong to give. In fact, it's definitely right. God's people gave physical offerings well before the tabernacle and the temple offerings were started back in Moses' time. And God's people gave physical offerings well after the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So we know, we can be sure, and we can be confident that our modern day New Testament, New Covenant monetary holy day offerings are certainly right and good and follow in the right spirit of the Old Testament holy day offerings. And in some respects, the things that we've studied today, that we've read today, our mercy and our love for God and our love for our neighbours can be manifested by our attitude towards our holy day offerings. And also the money collected from our holy day offerings certainly does go toward the doing of God's will on earth.